Jonah 4:1, this is God's word. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Let's pray. Lord, please bless this time as we preach your word and hear the preaching of your word. Help me, Father, to decrease that you might increase. It's not I, but Christ in me. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the thoughts of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I pray that we, your people, as we hear your word preached before us, would take it and use it in our lives to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, your Son. Come, Holy Spirit, do a work that only you can do this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jonah has just finished preaching the greatest revival in history. Surely he's on top of the world. Have y'all ever been around a preacher after a really good sermon? No. Well, that's offensive. Well, Jonah has preached a mass revival. The king of Nineveh has proclaimed a fast. They put Jonah on CNN. There has never been a prophet of God with that many Twitter followers. Surely there's a book deal from Lifeway on the way. But Jonah has just preached the greatest revival in history, but we still read here. What does it say? It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He's angry. Now, God puts him in his place, as people can do to us at times, and certainly God can do for us at times. In verse 4, and he says, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Don't you hate when a question gives the answer? Hard, isn't it? That's what I want to talk to you about here today. Jonah's anger. He's displeased. He's angry. And it's funny how we can be like this with God. When things are bad or we are in need, we have the sweetest fellowship with God. We're on our knees. We're passionate. We're in the Word and we cry before Him. But when everything is well, at those times where we should find ourselves the most content in the Christian life, we often find ourselves discontented. But I want to point out to you Jonah's example here in these times. He's pretty much a bad example throughout this story. But I think in this one area, Jonah is a good example to us because of what he does. Go with me from verse 1 to verse 2 and just see this. It displeased, well, back up to verse 10. It gets even better if you do that. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. What did he do? And he prayed unto the Lord. Would you mark that in your Bibles? At one of the worst parts in Jonah's ministry, he's not in a good way here. He's really not right with God in the way he is acting at this moment. But he still prayed. I think one of the biggest fallacies in the Christian walk is this idea that when I'm not just right with God, I really can't pray. We learn something here about prayer. We learn something here about Jonah's, through Jonah's example of prayer. We learn about God's character in our praying here. I think we learn that it's in prayer, it is not God speaking to us so much as it is us speaking to Him, which in turn is not us enacting change upon God or upon heaven or the will of God. as it is enacting that change upon us through praying. How does God speak to us in prayer? It's that molding that he does while we're praying. I want you to notice what we learn here of the character of God through Jonah's praying. And I want you to keep in mind as we go through this, that this is coming from Jonah during a time that he is not as he should be before God. But he still prays. And he is still settled on who God is. The character and the attributes of God. You see, I think probably if foundationally things are not right in our lives, then our prayer life will not be right. Our walk with God will not be right. We can still have things foundationally right, because Jonah does here, and still not be right with God. Don't get me wrong. See, just because you've mastered the grace of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, and the kindness of God, doesn't mean everything else is going to go right for you in your life. You still have to be obedient, etc. But back up and realize what Jonah says about the grace of God at one of his just, I don't know a good word, most sinful times in his ministry. One of the most corrupt times. Would you call that corrupt? I mean, he goes and preaches to these people. They respond appropriately to the preaching, and he's just mad about that. That's corruption, right? The first thing we notice Jonah says here in verse 2 is that God is gracious. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. He says, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew thou art a gracious God. He's angry. He is displeased. He is scorning God through his prayer. Still, what does he do? He testifies of the grace of God. Jonah says, I knew. I knew that you're a gracious God. I knew when I went to Nineveh that this is what you were going to do. By the way, Christians, we should be that settled in God's grace. We should know that God's a saving God and that his grace is sovereign and that he will save the lost. Jesus was sure of that. Jesus said, all that the Father has promised me will come to me, and I will in no wise cast them out. So Jonah's in a bad way here, but his point of view on the grace of God is solid and helpful to you and I. What is grace? Grace is God's unearned and undeserved favor upon a life. Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. Grace is God giving us what we have not earned. Grace is God giving us what we cannot earn. And since God is sovereign, his grace is sovereign. Despite human choice, God chooses to be gracious. The night that I was converted, I did not go to church to be saved that night. I went to church because my parents made me go to church. There's point one in my sub-sermon. Parents with children, make them go to church. Amen. I went to church because I wanted to play basketball in the parking lot with my friends. Point number two, all churches should have a basketball goal in the parking lot. Amen. I should have 3 points. I'm a Baptist. I can't think of a third one, so I'm going to leave you with two. But the Lord convicted me that night. He drew me. He saved me. Praise God for his grace. Despite my human intention, God chose to be gracious to me that night in salvation. Think about that in Jonah's life. To be chosen for this task was God's grace in his life. Odd as it may seem, the storm that stopped his path of disobedience was God's grace in his life. This fish that swallowed him whole and spit him out upon the shore was God's grace in his life. Do you see how God's grace is sovereign with the fish? I don't think that whale had a steering wheel. Jonah get to choose where it spit him out. Jonah get to choose how long it stayed inside. God's grace is sovereign. Jonah's second chance. Chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. This was God's grace in his life. Jonah knew all about God. He knew about how gracious he is. While Jonah then is sitting there alive through God's grace, what is his preference? Wrath for Nineveh. Does that seem right? This just doesn't jive. Jesus told a story kind of like this in the Gospels. He said, there was a man who owed a great debt. And he was going to be cast into jail. And he told his master, he said, just please forgive me my debt, or give me time to get the money up or whatever. And his master was gracious to him. And then he went to the men who owed him debts and he threw them into jail. Was that the right thing to do? No. Here's Jonah, a recipient of God's grace over and over and over again in his life. And he goes to Nineveh and he sees God's sovereign grace fall upon this place. And he just sits up there and he's just mad about it. God help us as recipients of his grace to share that and to be just as gracious in our own living. Next, Jonah says that God is merciful. He says, Lord, is this not what I told you when I was in my country? I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful. Again, while angry that God is not destroying Nineveh, he says, I knew when I came here that you would be merciful to these people. Now, mercy is God not giving us what we have earned. There's a positive and a negative in mercy and grace. Grace is God giving us what we cannot earn. He puts something into our lives. Mercy is his withholding what we have earned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is, we've earned death. So grace adds to or intervenes. Mercy withholds. Mercy and grace are free. They're unmerited. All that you and I will ever merit is justice. But God in his justice exhausted his wrath on Christ on the cross, satisfied it, and you and I received mercy and grace. Jesus paid that price. Amen. He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. God was being so merciful to Nineveh. That's the overarching theme of the book of Jonah, is the mercy and the love of God. God was merciful to Jonah as well when he allowed him to go away from Nineveh and go get on a boat. God was withholding. He was being merciful. God was merciful to Jonah when he kept him alive in the storm and inside the fish. God was merciful in allowing Jonah space to repent of his disobedience. You and I know of the mercy of God. In spite of that, I think circumstance often causes us to operate around God's mercy. How could Jonah so quickly get back into this rut after that well experience? I mean, have you thought about this? The man just lived through being inside a well 3 days, three nights, spit out on the seashore, makes the trip to Nineveh, preaches, great revival comes, and then here we find him, and what is he doing? He is just down in the dumps. He is a bitter curmudgeon of a Christian. I was talking about y'all. Some of you looked down when I said that. We get like that, don't we? It's almost like we string our Christian life along from one blessing to the next. And everything in between is just horrible. I want to point out something to you about this for Jonah. Let him off the hook just a little bit. Jonah was just saved from a sea storm. He was just saved from the great fish. He was just given another chance to serve God. He's angry. But God has just blessed his preaching with mass revival and a show of ultimate mercy. But between the fish and Nineveh is at least a 500-mile journey of almost all desert. Christian life ever like that for you? We go through desert times. We go through dry times. We go through hard places. If we're not where we ought to be with God in those times, they can lead us to this type of bitterness, this type of anger that causes desert places in the Christian life cause us to forget God's recent mercies. But what does the Bible teach us? That in the lush valleys of life, in the mountaintop peaks of life, and even in the harsh desert places of life, God's mercies are new every morning. In our desert times of life, we may be slow to see the need for God's mercy in the life of others. So let us take Jonah as an example. He's not where he ought to be. He's not how he ought to be. He's angry. He's bitter. He's being harsh. But still in that prayer, he says, God, I know you are gracious. And God, I know you are merciful. And then he says, God, you are slow to anger. I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger. And don't forget his position here, or the position of the text. We don't read that God is telling Jonah, you know I am gracious. You know I am merciful. You know I am slow to anger. This is Jonah saying to God, I know you are all of these things. Still, I wanted you to destroy Nineveh. Is there a verse in the Bible about what you want? Is there a verse in the Bible that tells you to seek out the will of God for your life? It doesn't exist. We're just to follow the Word of God. It's funny how we've adopted things in the modern church that, because they're tradition or history, that we're never actually part of what the New Testament taught us to be as New Testament saints. Jesus made it easy for his followers. Follow me. That was his will for their lives. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jonah's angry because God didn't do what he wanted him to do. But he says in the middle of that, I knew that you were a God who is slow to anger. Jonah was God's prophet in Israel. No doubt he had seen God be patient and slow, long-suffering with his people. Don't you think God has been patient and slow to anger with Israel? Certainly he has. God could have enacted his wrath upon Nineveh justly without ever sending Jonah. By the way, that's a doctrine of the Bible you need to be clear on. We studied Romans chapter 1 in Sunday school this morning. God could have enacted his wrath upon Nineveh without ever sending Jonah justly, because even the creation has revealed him unto them. Don't step past that. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to encourage you to go out and share the gospel more. Don't think somebody else will. Don't think God will immaculately cause it to happen in their life. The gospel of Jesus Christ is manifest in the world of today through the church, not this building, the human beings who make up this group of people. God is not obligated to any of us. The only thing he's obligated to do is judge how sinful we are, and all have sinned and come short of his glory. Heaven help us, we have the solution. We have the cure. We miss the point of our calling. We miss the goal of what God calls us to do. If we had an inoculation up here this morning, is that the word? An injection we could give people, and it would 100% guarantee that they would not catch the coronavirus. Let me make it scarier than that. They would not get cancer. We'd tell everybody. We'd take a picture, put it on Facebook. You would share somebody else's Facebook post of this. It would spread like wildfire. You'd want everybody to line up and get this and take this. I'm not worried what someone else can do to my body or what this world can do to my body. I'm worried about the one who can do something with my soul. And I'm worried about the one who can do something with your soul. Jonah knew that God was slow to anger. He was God's prophet in Israel. He knew that God could have enacted his wrath upon Nineveh justly without ever sending Jonah, but he still sent him to them. God could have marked Jonah off at any point in this story, but God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is slow to anger. But Jonah, God's representative upon the earth, was not being this way. Christians, we can say God is patient and loving and merciful and gracious and slow to anger till we're blue in the face. But if we're not being this way, what are we? Sounding brass, tingling cymbals. Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I am what? Nothing. Are you slow to anger? Are you patient? Are you long-suffering? I've noticed in my life, I've always been around Christians. My parents raised me in a Christian home, a godly church. I noticed that they struggle with being long-suffering like this because they've been hurt. And because they've been hurt at some point in the past, they sit around and look for reasons not to like the other Christians. Instead of spending our time being gracious and merciful like God has been to us and slow to anger, we're just looking for reasons to get mad. There's no way to live your life. Here you're trying to find the differences between you and this church and the difference between you and the other Christian. But we can't operate like that 100% of the time. What if God were that way with us? What if God was quick to anger with us? Wouldn't be many of us left, would there? And then we see God is kind. Jonah says, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. Calvin wrote, when we desire God to be kind to us, we inquire in ourselves why he ought to favor us. And when we find nothing, all the faith we before had respecting God's grace at once vanishes. That is human nature. I mean, we can just be so full of ourselves that we're full of faith, but when we look around at why God should actually, why should he be kind to you? Why should he be kind to me? It's like a bug on a windshield. Splat, there goes my faith. Can I give you some good news in spite of that observation? He's still kind. Even though we don't deserve it. He just is. It is who he is. We wouldn't understand kindness if we didn't understand God, who is kindness. He is of great kindness to us. He was kind to Israel. He's kind to Jonah in this story. He was kind to the sailors in this story. He's kind to Nineveh in these stories, in this story. So Jonah concludes here at the end of verse number 3. Because God is all of this, because he's gracious and merciful and long-suffering and kind, what does he do? And repentest thee of the evil. Because God is these things, he relents of the evil when Nineveh repents. As Jonah concludes his prayer in verse 2, the word of God becomes clear to him in verses 3 and 4. In verse 4, God says, do you do well to be angry? But I want you to notice in verse 3 just how mad he is. Therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You ever seen a child pitch a fit and hold their breath? Jonah's holding his breath here. He's kicking and screaming. He's saying, Lord, just kill me. You didn't do what I wanted. What do we call that? Pouting. He's just pouting. And he just, it's not like his house burned down and he pouted. If your house burns down, you cry, right? Sad. It's not like his granny died. He went and preached and people responded appropriately. Maybe the love offering wasn't big enough. And he's just up there pouting, Lord, just kill me. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. And God says, do you do well to be angry? Jonah tells God that it is better for him to die than to live. But God has paid a great price for Jonah. He's gone to a great extent in Jonah's life to bring him to this place. James Boyce remarks of Jonah's anger here. He had obeyed God, doing what God wanted, but God had not done what Jonah wanted. I ask you this morning in closing, is this the cause for your anger? Do you do well to be angry? A lot of times that's reflected in our lives, not in our interactions with God, but in our actions with God's people. They don't do what we want them to do. You know what I've learned about that? You can't make another person do anything. I was talking to some guys just last night about horses and mules and stubbornness and how no matter how hard you try, some just can't be broken. I mean, there are all kind of tactics and ways. I won't tell you some of the things they told me they did. Pretty sure it was James Boyce who said this: a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Do you do well to be angry? You see, you can be obedient to God and still be miserable. You can be outwardly doing all the right things, but inwardly unhappy and angry with God. But I tell you today, God is gracious. He is merciful. He is slow to anger. He is kind. He relents of the evil before us. He relents of the judgment before us because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So would you stand? Respond to the Word of God before you today. And answer that question: do I do well to be angry?